When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast presented by Omaha Steaks. Josh All alone with you on NFL Draft Eve. That's right. First round of the 2024 NFL Draft kicks off tomorrow night, Thursday night. Cannot wait to watch all the action, see what happens in that first round. You know, a lot of people out there complaining about the Browns not having a first round pick yet again this season, but in all reality, it's kind of nice to just sit back, watch what all these other teams are going to do in the first round and not really have to worry about, well, are the Browns going to pick the right guy, use this first round pick in the correct manner? Because you know what? We get guys like Martin Emerson in the third, DeJuan Jones in the fourth, Grant Delpit, JOK were second round picks. Those are all guys that if you redraft their specific drafts, they go in the first round anyway. So the Browns have proven now under this regime, and you got to get used to that, guys. You got to get used to the mindset of this regime, not the past regimes. Forget all that crap from before. I know it's tough. Trust me, I've got the scars too. But what this regime can do is like unlike anything we've ever seen before in Cleveland. So it's going to be an exciting night. And then we've got Friday night live on YouTube with all of you. Please jump in the chat. Join us during the live stream. We're going to be doing rounds 2 and 3 and keeping an eye out on the Browns and the prospects and talking about everybody that's available that the Browns could be looking at, who we want. We're going to recap night one. It's going to be a ton of fun. I'm planning on doing a quick episode Friday during the day to recap just my recap like I did last year of night one, just to go over the picks because a lot of you maybe listening, watching this, did not catch all of round one. I'll just do a quick recap just to tell you who went where, give a little bit of commentary on some of the stuff, but then leave the full discussions for that night on the YouTube live. So make sure you guys like this video and all our videos on YouTube, subscribe to the channel and tap that notification bell so you do not miss when we post a new video, a new episode, or go live like we are on Friday night at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Make sure you join us. So today on the episode, what I want to do, this is sort of the last call for draft prospects in relation to the Browns, where we're picking, where we're slated to pick right now. We don't know if the Browns are going to move up, back, keep all their picks, just stay pat. We don't know. We don't know what they're going to do. But as it sits right now, we've got 6 picks, and I'm just going to go through real quick some prospects that I like at each position that could be available at each pick and all that kind of stuff. Talk about those guys and then just want to hit, you know, a couple key names that Browns fans you need to be aware of, familiar with, and keeping an eye on this weekend. And I'll get to that. But the first thing I want to talk about, Adam Schefter put out a tweet this morning that I thought was really awesome. You know, I did the show on Monday talking about first round picks, Andrew Berry's responses, and everything about those from his press conference last week. And, you know, he was talking about, he didn't have the numbers off the top of his head. What's a hit rate for a first round pick? He said maybe it's around like 50%. Well, he was a little high on his speculation there on the hit rate just off the cuff, because this is what Schefter tweeted out. He said that they calculated the percentage of first round picks that either hit or miss, and that is based upon whether or not the player signs a second contract with the team that drafted him. So this data encompasses 20 drafts. So 20 first rounds the last 20 years, from 2000 to 2019. So not the most recent years, where obviously we have no idea if any of those players are going to get second contracts. They're not eligible yet. So going from 2000 to 2019, here are the positional hit rates. And it starts at center. The center position, the hit rate is 92%. If you take a center in the first round, the hit rate is 92%. That's insane. You want to talk about a massive drop-off? Offensive tackle was the second highest. That hit rate drops from center at 92, clear down to tackle at 59%. Drops down to offensive guard at 50%. So if you draft an offensive lineman, depending on where, what position they play in the first round, if you take a guard, you've got 50% hit rate, a tackle's 59%, and a center is 92%. Excuse me. And these hit rates, it's not like this is from 2 or 3 years of sample size. It's a 20-year sample size. So the data is pretty good on this stuff. So those were the top three positions. Your offensive line, that seems to be, if you're looking to maximize the value and the future potential production, all that stuff of your first round pick, probability says go with the offensive line. They have the highest hit rates. So moving into the next section, this is like their yellow section. So 40 to 48% linebacker at 48% hit rate. Quarterback is only a 46% hit rate. So if you're drafting a quarterback in the first round, you have less than half or less than 50% probability that they're going to hit, which means, like I said before, sign a second contract with your team. Edge rusher, 44%. Defensive tackle, 40%. All right. So now we're going to move into the positions that are less than 40% hit rate. Cornerback, 38%. Running back, 38%. Which, running back, I totally understand, because hardly any running backs get a second contract with their team. Safety, 34%. Tight end, 33%. And what position have I not said yet? The position that I see so many people on social media saying, if the Browns had a first round pick this year, they could go and get themselves an elite level. Say with me, wide receiver. That is correct. And the wide receiver is clear down at the very tippy tail bottom of this list. 27% hit rate from 2000 to 2019. So there is no guarantee that a team drafting a wide receiver in the first round is getting an elite player. They might not even be getting a great player or a good player or a player that's going to be with your team very long at all. So 27%, that is a super low number. And you know, you think about, for every, well, I used this example online today. I was talking to somebody and I said, you know, these hit rates, and just to give you guys real quick, Barry was talking like, yeah, I think it's around 50% overall, the hit rate for a first round pick. The average boils down to 43%. Your hit rate for a first round pick is 43%, less than 50% probability that that player signs a second contract with your team. That's low. And that's why I said, I have got no problem moving first round picks for proven players. I've got no problem with that at all, because there's 43%. You're getting a guy who could develop into a proven player with a first round pick. Why not just go use 100% on another guy? I like those odds a little better. So, you know, the example I used was, I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles missed their first round pick when they traded it to the Titans for AJ Brown. Then the Titans turned around and used that pick to draft Treylon Burks. There is a little bit of a difference between those two players. So that's the kind of stuff we're thinking about. And then, you know, sticking with the Eagles, a year or two before that, they drafted Jalen Reagor in the first round. And I don't even know what team he's on right now. He was on the Patriots, Vikings. Like, the dude is, might not even be in the league anymore. There is no guarantee on any of these positions, except for center. 92% is pretty damn close. The totals on that one's interesting. There's been 12 like pure centers drafted in the first round over those 20 years. 11 hits and only one miss. I should probably go in and figure out who the one miss is. That would be interesting. But anyway, I just thought those numbers were insightful. And you know that I love the stats. I love the analytics. I love looking at these probabilities and things like that. And this just further confirmed for me that first round picks are just a shot in the dark. I mean, it's a good educated guess that you're making with a 43% hit rate over that 20-year time span. So take that for what you will, but the Browns not having a first round pick in this draft bothers me in no way, shape, or form. As I started this whole conversation with, if you can get first round talent Martin Emerson in the third, if you can get first round talent Dwan Jones in the fourth, JOK, Grant Delpit, these guys in the second round, I'm cool. I mean, I have no problem with getting first round talented players later in the draft. So if anybody else has a problem with that, can you explain why? This episode is sponsored by Aura. Browns fans, how much of your personal, business, and financial lives exist online? Now, one out of every four people will fall victim to online crime. According to the FBI, the amount of money lost to digital crime has more than doubled since 2020. Oh, you mean like, you know, since the world was forced to go digital in order to function? Yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. Digital identity theft is a booming business, and Aura helps protect you from all the dangers online. Start your 14-day free trial at aura.com/dogs, DAWGS. In today's world, you need to safeguard yourself and your kids. Aura provides protection against financial fraud and identity theft, along with a privacy assistant to scan the entire web, including the dark web, to find places where your email or phone number should not be. Connect to the web safely with Aura's VPN that encrypts your online activity and blocks phishing and scam sites, all with one click. And maybe the most convenient feature is Aura's password manager. Safely store and access all your passwords for all your apps in one spot. And Aura also has parental controls. This is so important. So you guys can monitor and protect your kiddos on their devices, including, I love this, a cyberbullying feature that alerts you to any harmful dialogue directed toward your kids. Track their screen time and browsing history to make sure they're not engaging in any harmful behaviors. The internet can be a fantastic space packed with information, but it's also filled with people who make money stealing your information. Stop them now. Test out all of Aura's features with a 14-day free trial at aura.com/dogs. The app is awesome, but I recommend you create your account in a web browser first and then download the app second. Run the data check, find out where your information is being sold. Chances are it is. Mine was being sold on 16 different sites, and Aura immediately goes to work removing you from all of them. What do you have to lose? Well, I mean, if someone steals your identity online, you actually have a lot to lose. So give Aura a try today. 14-day free trial at aura.com/dogs. Okay, so let's take a look at prospects again. You know, this episode is titled the final mock of the, you know, of the offseason here before the draft and all that kind of stuff. And I will do like a final, I'm not going to go through a simulator or anything like we've been doing. I'm just going to say, if I'm mocking my ideal landing spots to the Browns, this is what it looks like. I'll do that here at the end. But let's just go position by position. And I'm using NFLMockDraftDatabase.com. They pull all the mock draft simulators and analyst rankings and all those kind of projections and things from across the internet into one place. I really like this resource. They tell you where the player is on average projected to go, at what spot in the draft, what their high, like what their peak, their highest point is, and then what their lowest is. So I think this is pretty good. And like I said, we'll go just position by position. I'm just going to go down their tab. So if we start with running back, if the Browns are looking for running back in the second round, which I don't project, that's not my prediction, but if they are, Jonathan Brooks is the highest projected running back out of Texas. He is projected at 48. His peak is 46. And he's got a lot of people projecting him to go to Dallas at 56, which is two picks after us. So if the Browns want, you know, the top running back, I don't know who's the top running back on their board. There's Jonathan Brooks. Would I take Jonathan Brooks? Personally, no. The reason is he's coming off a torn ACL from last season. Now, all the reports, of course, are, you know, he's ahead of schedule, he's full strength, good to go, he'll be ready for training camp, all that stuff. But we've seen ACLs, while you can come back the following year and be effective, you really don't gain your full effectiveness for about a year out. So bringing in Jonathan Brooks to me would just be, why would I want two recovering running backs on my roster at the same time? But again, he's a great talent. There's no doubt that as long as the recovery goes well and he gets back to full strength, he's probably going to be a really good running back in the NFL for quite a few years. So, you know, if the Browns walked up and said, hey, we're taking Jonathan Brooks at 54, I wouldn't hate it. I'm not sitting here saying I would hate it, just not what I'm projecting. Trey Benson is the other one from Florida State. And then they've got, see, this is where we would probably move into that 85 range on some of these next prospects. Jalen Wright, the running back out of Tennessee, is a guy that I'm very interested in. I think he's got a lot of potential in the NFL. I think he's going to be a really good running back. I know a lot of analysts are very high on Marshawn Lloyd. So he would be, he's running back out of USC. He would be maybe a pick 85 type of pick. Braylon Allen, running back out of Wisconsin, he would probably be around that range as well. So those are some of the names that I'm looking at there. If you move down a little bit later, I mean, some of these running backs, I like a lot of them. I'm not in love with any of them, if that makes sense. I mean, Audric Estime from Notre Dame, we've talked about. Will Shipley from Clemson. I'm not a big Bucky Irving fan from Oregon. Tyrone Tracy from Purdue interests me. Kamani Vidal, now we're talking closer to that like 206 pick, maybe later in the draft, because they've got him ranked at 191, peak is 147. So not real sure, but he's the running back out of Troy. Blake Watson, running back out of Memphis. And I've heard good things about Dylan Johnson, running back out of Washington. He would be a very late pick, most likely, if the Browns were to go that route. That kind of wraps it up for running backs. So, you know, we'll see what the Browns do if they decide to use one of their draft picks on a running back, or if they decide to just roll in with Foreman, Ford, Hines, maybe Pierre Strong, while Nick Chubb continues to recover, and maybe they save, you know, a more premium draft pick on a running back for next year or something to that regard. Now let's move to one of everybody's favorite positions here. If this thing will load, we are going to go look at wide receivers. All right, so looking around that second round pick that the Browns have, 54, the wide receivers available, or at least projected to be available, maybe in their range there. It kind of starts with Keon Coleman and the wide receiver from Florida State. He's a wide receiver that I started the whole process pretty low on, was not a big Keon Coleman fan. And the more I looked into him, the more I listened to analysts and read about him, watched a little bit of film, I do think Keon Coleman would be a good fit for the Browns. I think that he would be a nice receiver. I think that he's got the potential to develop into an alpha type, dominant outside receiver. He is not a very crisp, clean route runner or anything like that, but he is a go up and get it, throw me the ball, it's mine, contested catch kind of dog. And I've just heard a lot of good things about him. He's only 21 years old. I think he's only 20 years old. He's going to turn 21. So super young, super moldable. That's a decent, really nice breakout age, young breakout age that you like to see with these receivers. So if the Browns went Keon Coleman, if they go wide receiver at 54 and the pick is Keon Coleman, I'd be cool with that. Xavier Leggett's kind of the opposite from South Carolina. He's older. He's going to be 24 soon. Late, super late breakout. Fifth year in college. I know that there were some extenuating circumstances for him. Still a guy that I'm not super high on, but he is a big-bodied physical receiver that's got pretty decent speed. And again, the guys that I'm naming here, unless I say I don't want them, I would be totally okay if the Browns turned in the card for some of these guys. Ricky Pearsall from Florida is intriguing to me. Roman Wilson, I would be okay with. I do not like the guys from Washington. I don't like Jalen Polk, and I don't like Jalen McMillan, the Jalens from Washington. I'm out on those guys. Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky is a guy that I think could be interesting for the Browns. Maybe they trade back a few spots if they have their eyes on him and he's still there and they get him. I'd be cool with that. Javon Baker from UCF, I like him. I love Jermaine Burton from Alabama. I think Jermaine Burton, now the only problem with Jermaine Burton, and this would, now we're moving into that like eight pick 85 range. The problem with Jermaine Burton is like maturity issues, off the field stuff. Just he has a little bit of attitude problem, I think. But that is the type of thing that if you rein that in, if you can harness that and put that energy in a more positive direction, Jermaine Burton has everything you want from an NFL wide receiver. Now, I'm not saying that you draft him at 85 and he turns into your future wide receiver one, but what I am saying is the dude can play all three wide receiver spots, X, Y, and Z, move him inside, move him outside. He's got speed, good route running, good hands, and he could be a reliable year after year after year wide receiver two for an NFL team. And that's valuable. That is super, super valuable and something that the Browns have been looking for quite a while. So Jermaine Burton, I think moving forward would be a nice player to have on the Browns. Like I said, if they can harness his extracurriculars, we will call them. Malik Washington is about the last guy in this range that I like around that 85 pick in the third round. And then moving out of the third round, you know, it just gets a little hairy. Luke McCaffrey, interesting. I think he's going to take a little time to really acclimate and develop to the NFL game. If you're interested in a little bit more of a project player, but, you know, he does come from very, very strong NFL bloodlines. Aeneas Smith from Texas A&M, I think, could be a nice later round player for the Browns if they were to wait on wide receiver. And then we talked about Jalen Coker, and that could be somewhere in those early 200s at the Browns, at 206 pick. Maybe they grab a Jalen Coker. And from Holy Cross, did an episode talking about him last week, I believe. And he's it's a smaller school, lesser competition, but he's got a lot of those traits. And again, we're not talking at this point in the draft, we're not talking about guys that, oh man, if they don't turn into our wide receiver one, it was a bust. No, we're just looking for contributors at this point. And then after that, the other name here that people should be familiar with, Tulu Griffin from Mississippi State, the guy the Browns met with. He is an excellent return man. So now we're looking at more of what can you offer us on special teams. Maybe you can contribute at wide receiver, but that would be Tulu Griffin. And then the last guy that I want to mention with the wide receivers is a young man by the name of Mason Tipton. So this is a guy that I was not familiar with whatsoever. I was doing some reading online, and Mason Tipton, wide receiver from Yale, has met with the Cleveland Browns during this pre-draft process five times, including a one-on-one Zoom call with wide receiver coach Chad O'Shea. The buzz around Mason Tipton is the Browns, he's one of their guys. They love this kid, and they're probably going to bring him in. Now, when I'm talking about Mason Tipton, I'm talking about a guy that's probably a seventh round pick or potentially a priority UDFA signing Saturday afternoon as soon as the draft is over. So that is a name that Browns fans, we should all get familiar with and be looking for the Browns to bring in either late Saturday or at some point in time on Saturday. So a day three type of guy, whether it's a draft pick or a UDFA, like I said. But Mason Tipton, I'll just do a quick thing on him. He's actually from Akron. So this is a local Northeast Ohio guy. The Cleveland Browns are his home team. He loves the Browns. He wants to play for the Browns. He did an interview with OBR, and he was quoted as saying, "The Browns want to find a way for me to get in that jersey. It's a dream to be in Cleveland. It's my hometown." So when you have the prospect himself saying the Browns want to find a way for me to get in their jersey, that means there's a pretty darn good chance this kid's coming to Cleveland at least for the summer. And that's the thing. He comes, he competes, maybe he carves himself out a roster spot. It's not like we haven't seen UDFAs do that before in recent years. So I'm pretty high on him. NFL Draft Diamonds calls him one of the best small school sleepers in the entire draft. And he's 5'10", 180, ran a 4.32 40 at his pro day, which is what caught the eye of a lot of scouts. And he, let's see, started every single game in college since he set foot on campus. 36 career games, 2,097 yards, 19 total touchdowns. In 2023, he had 807 yards and 10 touchdowns. So, like I was talking with some of those other guys before, Jalen Coker, those names, not looking at a guy that I'm saying, this is our next wide receiver one. Just because we draft a wide receiver doesn't mean he has to be our wide receiver one or be an elite alpha dog. We're looking for guys who can get on the field and contribute, make plays, be a reliable target for Deshaun Watson, and move the ball, score touchdowns, make guys miss. And by all accounts, Mason Tipton, there's a, I believe one of his high school coaches commented with us on Facebook, I think it was, and was saying, hey, this kid is awesome. Great kid. Dog, just a, he'll fight. He's got heart. He's got everything that you want for a player on your team. So I'm very intrigued by Mason Tipton, and I just wanted to do a little more detailing on him to get you guys familiar, because I really feel strongly this guy's going to be a Cleveland Brown by the end of the weekend. This episode is presented by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, I don't know where you're at. It may or may not feel like it, but it is spring, and the Omaha Steaks spring sale is here, and it is the perfect time to get fired up for all your springtime grilling. 50% off site wide. These are the sales that I love to take advantage of, because it's the perfect time to grab everything from Omaha Steaks at half the price. And when you use promo code DOGS, DAWGS, when you check out, you get an additional $30 off your order. It's a deal that you just can't pass up. So head over to omahasteaks.com/dogs right now. Order the perfectly aged tender steaks, ocean fresh seafood, juicy burgers, incredible air chilled chicken, and all their delicious desserts, ready to eat meals, all this stuff. They've got appetizers and stuff too, guys. Chicken wings and mozz sticks and everything you could possibly want to stock up for a fantastic spring grilling season. 50% off site wide, omahasteaks.com/dogs. Use promo code DOGS, DAWGS, when you check out for $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required. Before we move on, Ohio, Bet365 is offering new users $150 in bonus bets this month. To receive your bonus bets, all you have to do is sign up for Bet365 using our link, make a first deposit of $10, and place a $5 wager on any game. Once that first $5 bet settles, you will receive $150 in bonus bets, even if you lose the bet. To be eligible for this sign-up bonus, you must sign up through our link down in the description. So if you haven't yet signed up for Bet365, click our link in the description and place that first bet. This offer is only available for new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in Ohio. Please gamble responsibly. If you or a loved one has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Check the episode description for the full terms to see if you can qualify.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so tight end position will be kind of quick. Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. I would love to get him at 54. He's going probably top 10, so we don't need to worry about that. But my tight end number one in this draft class after Brock Bowers is Ben Sennett from Kansas State. I think Sennett can do everything you want a tight end to do in the NFL. And if you get a guy who is, you know, he's a good pass catcher, but he's also coming in ready to take on a blocking role at the tight end position, and he's really refined in that regard, that moves David Njoku out to the big slot more often. And the more routes that David Njoku is running, the better this offense is. This offense will be so much stronger with Njoku not blocking. So get a guy who can block and then also peel out and catch a pass if you need him to. But Ben Sennett, I love this guy. I think he is going to be a fantastic tight end in the NFL wherever he goes. And I would love to see it be in Cleveland. After Ben Sennett, there's Jatavion Sanders. I think Jatavion's being projected to go about 24 spots before Ben Sennett. So the experts have him going a lot sooner. But again, I got Sennett ranked higher in my rankings than Sanders. Cade Stover from Ohio State would be maybe into that 156 area that we might be able to grab. Theo Johnson from Penn State. Jared Wiley from TCU. Jaheim Bell from Florida State. I like him. He's kind of a do-it-all player. He's a smaller guy for the tight end position, so he's not a traditional tight end exclusively. He probably plays some H-back, some slot, some of this stuff, but you know, he's definitely got talent. There's no doubt about it. Tip Ryman from Illinois. Again, this is moving a little bit further into the draft. Could come in and kind of solidify the depth of the tight end position. Eric All, I've talked about him on the show. He's being projected at pick 167, but his peak is clear up at 64. So this is a guy that the experts don't really know where he's going to go. It's a wide range of projections for Eric All because he has all the traits that you look for in a tight end to be an elite player at that position in the NFL. Big question marks with him, health. Lots of injuries in college, but again, man, if this guy comes out and stays healthy, could be a big-time player that somebody's going to get a little bit later in the draft. And then you've got guys like Tanner McLaughlin from Arizona, A.J. Barner from Michigan, and the only guy after that I'm really even interested in hearing his name whatsoever is McCallum Castles from Tennessee. But now we're talking seventh round possible UDFA. So there's your tight end position. Now let's move over to the offensive tackles. Got to scroll a little bit because this is a heavy offensive tackle class. A lot of guys probably going to go in that first round, the first half of the second round then as well. But when you get to where the Browns are picking at 54, you're looking at guys like Kingsley Suamataea from BYU. I would love to get this guy. If he was on the board at 54, I'd be screaming, just draft Suamataea, please. That'd be great because then you'd have DeJuan Jones and Kingsley Suamataea as your tackles of the future. But I don't think he'll be there at 54. Then you've got guys like Patrick Paul out of Houston, Blake Fisher, Notre Dame, and Karan Amagaji. I did learn how to say his name. I'm pretty sure it's Karan Amagaji, and the tackle out of Yale. Again, smaller school, all that kind of stuff, but by all accounts, this guy has everything for a developmental tackle in the NFL, which is perfect for the Browns because they've actually got him going at 84, Browns pick at 85. His peak is 49, so like before the Browns even pick in the second round. So a wide range of outcomes for Amagaji, but to grab him and to say, look, this year we don't really, unless somebody gets hurt, we don't need you to be on the field and starting. That'll be next year's situation for you. I would not hate using the second round pick to secure that tackle position and have the bookends of the O-line ready to go in 2025, because in 24, we're already good. We're set. After Amagaji, it's Roger Rosengarten from Washington. And after Rosengarten, honestly, the guys that I'm interested in at tackle drop off quite a bit because Rosengarten's projected at 86. The next guy that I that I've looked into and liked what he could potentially bring, and this would be more of a depth tackle piece, not necessarily looking for starter reps out of him in the future, but it'd be Nathan Thomas from Louisiana Lafayette, and he would be like more of a seventh round pick. And after him, I mean, there's a name, Frank Crum from Wyoming. But now, like I said, now we're definitely talking depth and development versus, you know, somebody who's ever expected to play starter minutes for the Browns. If we bounce inside to the interior offensive line, where the Browns are going to be picking at 54, potentially could land Zach Frazier from West Virginia. The guy that I want at 54, if he's available, is Cooper Beebe. If we're going offensive line and, you know, Amagaji's not there or Sumatea's not there, Cooper Beebe from Kansas State, I think, is a plug and play day one starting guard in the NFL that you can get in this range. And not that the Browns would necessarily plug and play start him in 24. But again, talked about it in prior episodes, it does give you the opportunity to explore a trade with Wyatt Teller, because we do know that he has a movable contract right now. There's, I forget the numbers, I don't have them pulled up, but the dead cap isn't that bad. The Browns can save quite a bit against the cap if they offloaded his contract, and obviously there would be demand for his services. Nothing against Teller. I want him in Cleveland. He's one of my favorite players, just looking at it from a logical, you know, the business side of the NFL. Christian Haynes out of UConn would be the next guy I've got my eyes on in at this position. Dominic Pooney from Kansas, I've heard some stuff about him. And then Christian Mahogany from Boston College, another guy. Cedric Van Pran from Georgia. And then the name that the Browns have had a meeting with and is an interesting prospect because of his size and athleticism and his ability to play different positions, Brandon Coleman from TCU. So that's another name to keep an eye on. After Coleman, for me, I move into guys like Zach Zinter at 123 from Michigan, Delmer Glaze, who is listed here as a guard, but I think he in college primarily played tackle. But he would be a nice piece for the Browns in the mid rounds because he can play guard, tackle, be a more versatile depth piece at offensive line. I do think there's some starting potential for him if he develops. So that's Delmer Glaze from Maryland. And then, of course, Javian Cohen. You guys have heard me talk about him from Miami. I think he's a very versatile offensive guard that I would like to see in Cleveland. The Browns have met with him a few times. Trevor Keegan from Michigan, another Michigan guy that I think could come in and be a good depth piece. And then after that, my offensive guard, I don't know what you want to call it, my offensive guard research has really dropped off because there's not a whole ton of guys after those picks that I really like. So we'll move into the defensive line where the Browns are picking Braden Fiske from Florida State. Again, talked about him quite a few times already on the show. He's an older prospect, but I think could come in and be a dominant force on the defensive line early in his rookie season, which you don't often see that potential from this position in too many players, especially in this range, because your really, really good defensive linemen are going in the first round. But we've got Braden Fiske, and then we've got Michael Hall Jr. from Ohio State, and then Tavondre Sweat, who Brian Bosarge said, you know, somebody's going to benefit from, you know, him failing the stupid test, and he's supposed to be a first-round talent, probably going to drop late second, maybe into the third defensive tackle out of Texas. And then you got two LSU guys, Mason Smith, Mekhi Wingo. I'm higher on Mason Smith. I like him as a prospect a little bit better. You got Leonard Taylor out of Miami, moving on down the list here, around the range of that 156 pick. And then you've got McKinley Jackson out of Texas A&M. I like him for the Browns. I like Gabe Hall out of Baylor. And then moving a little bit further down, Logan Lee out of Iowa. And we're talking seventh round now. And Jaden Crumedy from Mississippi State. And then trying to see if there's anybody. Miles Murphy out of North Carolina, maybe as a late-round flyer, UDFA type of guy. But that sort of wraps up the defensive line position. I'll move over to edge just real quick. I haven't done a ton of research at edge rusher because the Browns are pretty much set there for now because you've got Myles Garrett. You just signed Za'Darius for 2 years. You've got Alex Wright, who showed last year that he took a nice step from rookie year to second year, and I expect another step up from him this year. Isaiah McGuire is a guy that I'm still pretty high on at that position as well, that we drafted last year in the fourth round, I think, fourth or fifth. So looking this year, guys that could be available for the Browns in the second round, somebody like Chris Braswell from Alabama would be nice. Marshawn Nealon from Western Michigan is a big, long, freak athletic type of player. Adisa Isaac from Penn State, I would also like him. Jonah Ellis, now we're moving more into like round three. Jonah Ellis out of Utah, Brandon Dorlus out of Oregon. And after that, maybe like a Gabriel Murphy out of UCLA, Cedric Johnson out of Mississippi. This is like that 156 range. And then moving later into the draft, maybe like Miles Cole out of Texas Tech. Eric Watts out of UConn. I've talked about him a little bit on the show before. But now, again, I'm just scrolling into seventh round UDFA prospects. So, you know, if the Browns don't see an edge rusher on the board that they like early, I'm not sure they invest a draft pick this year at edge. I think they're more likely to go interior D-line, but we'll see what happens. Now we'll bounce over to linebacker. Going to kind of cruise through this one because I don't see the Browns. I've talked about it before. My hot take is I don't think the Browns draft a linebacker at all. I think they probably wait and grab a couple UDFAs. I think they feel they can fill that position, the depth there, pretty easily going that route. Because if you go early, you're going to be talking. I'm not big on Peyton Wilson for the Browns. Too old, too injured out of NC State. I do like Junior Colson out of Michigan. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., obviously, out of Clemson. Cedric Gray out of North Carolina. Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky. Tommy Eichenberg out of Ohio State. And Edifuan Olufashio out of Washington. And then there's another name that I've recently come on to, and that's Jalen Ford out of Texas. You know, now I just quickly moved from 54 all the way to 156 in the range with these guys. That's because I don't think any of these guys end up going to Cleveland with any of those first picks. Now, if the Browns do like a trade back to acquire an extra pick or two in that range, maybe, but again, probably not, but we'll see what happens. If you move down a little bit later though, JD Bertrand from Notre Dame is projected, you know, anywhere from 140 to 203. Nathaniel Watson from Mississippi State, kind of the same range. Steel Chambers, the other linebacker from Ohio State, maybe you can get him in the seventh round. And then a couple other linebackers that I like. I'm big on Omar Spates from LSU, and I think he could be definitely be a seventh round pick, UDFA type of player. And I think, you know, is a name that Browns fans would come to say, wow, how'd we get this guy? But that's just another one of those names to keep an eye on. And then Luke Reamer, that was Kenny Mack's guy, linebacker from Nebraska. Again, his range anywhere from 166 to 450. So we'll see what happens at linebacker. But those are the names that I'm interested in at any rate. Now, if we move over to cornerbacks and safeties, it's going to be a very brief conversation. I don't have a whole lot of information on these positions. Safety especially, because the Browns already have five safeties on the active roster that are going to be on the 53-man today. Like, there's no room for a developmental safety in a room that's got Juan Thornhill, Grant Delpit, Ronnie Hickman, D'Anthony Bell, and Rodney McClown. And all five of those guys are under contract in 2024, combined less than $10 million to the cap. I don't know how Andrew Berry does these things with his contracts and the cap and all that stuff, but that's freaking awesome. You have an entire position group that doesn't even count $10 million collectively toward the cap. That's GMing right there. That's GMing with an attitude. So cornerback, where the Browns are picking, Mike Sanders still from Michigan, Kamari Lassiter from Georgia, TJ Tampa from Iowa State, and then a guy like Max Melton from Rutgers could be in play for the Browns there. Again, haven't deep dived a lot of cornerbacks because the Browns have three really good cornerbacks with Cam Mitchell sitting there at the four spot. We've already signed two free agent cornerbacks to the roster. If they take a guy, it's either going to be like an early dude that slips and falls that they're high on that they think we have to take him here in the second round, and they do that, or it's probably going to be maybe more like a mid to late round type of developmental guy, sort of like you saw with Cam Mitchell. So then you've got guys scrolling down, Renardo Green out of Florida State, Nehemiah Pritchett's interesting out of Auburn, D. Kamarian Richardson, cornerback out of Mississippi State. a guy the Browns have met with. He's sort of been looked at like Martin Emerson 2.0 with what his physical traits are. He's big. He's like, I forget, 6'2", 190 pounds or something like that. He's a big body cornerback, but he's super fast. He's very fast, very physical, hits, tackles, loves tackling. Like he's a great run game cornerback. Basically, coverage skills are going to need honed in and worked on at the NFL level. Sort of the same stuff we heard about with Martin Emerson. So Dekmarion Richardson is a name that I will be watching closely as the NFL draft unfolds. And he's projected anywhere from 142 to 150. And then you've got names like Josh Newton out of TCU and Chal Smith Wade out of Washington State. And I don't know if it's Kamal Hayden. Two D's in the last name there from Tennessee, but that would be a late round cornerback projected around pick 219 that I've read a little bit on him. And I think that as far as bringing in a developmental guy to sit behind the big three that the Browns have to mix in with Cam Mitchell could be a good secondary piece for the future of the Cleveland Browns. So that's Kamal Hayden out of Tennessee. And again, I'm not even going to talk about safeties. I don't see the point. There's obviously some good ones coming out in this draft, but it's just not a practical position right now to even speculate the Browns taking this weekend. Does that mean they won't? No, I'm not going to be absolutely floored by anything the Browns do, because we again are in position where if the league year or the roster cutdowns was tomorrow, you had to submit your 53-man final roster cutdowns and everything were tomorrow before the draft. The Browns would have a 53-man roster locked in, ready to go to compete for 2024. We need nothing in the draft. There are no immediate needs, no immediate positions that we need to fill with starters out of this draft, nothing. So we draft for depth and development in the future. And that is a great way to be. That is what good teams do. Good teams are set and ready to go. You've already got your studs in all the positions you're supposed to have studs. And then you just draft and hope that you get a Martin Emerson in the third round who can develop into a stud and one of your cornerbacks of the future. So I know that was a lot of names. I threw a lot of information at you guys, but I wanted to make sure I did one last talk with everybody, one last episode before the draft, get these names out there to just give you guys who I'm looking at, who me and Kenny have done the most prospect research of the team. And these are the guys that we really like for the Browns at each position, at each round. What the Browns decide to do, we will see very soon. It's very exciting because the NFL draft is right here, coming up this weekend. And we'll be with you guys through the whole thing again Friday night live on YouTube, going through rounds 2 and 3. And we'll be on social media all day Saturday, breaking down all the picks, all the moves, everything that the Browns are doing, and keeping you guys informed that way as well. I'm planning on doing a quick draft recap on Sunday, just to break down who the Browns picked, who the new players are that Andrew Berry came away with from the weekend, give a little information on each guy, but we'll really deep dive each new rookie that the Browns select and do that whole discussion next week on the live show. It'll either be on Tuesday or Wednesday. So just to give you guys a little bit of the schedule coming up this week and then after the draft. So here we go, the final mock draft. Real quick, just the final projections from the Dogs podcast heading into the weekend. And again, if we're not saying that we're going to be upset if this doesn't happen, these are just our final, this is just the final mock, because all the players that I listed from each position at each draft pick for the Browns, we would be thrilled with any of those guys. And to be honest, there's going to be guys at the Browns draft that we haven't done any deep dive into that weren't even on our list. And that's what happens every year. But to kind of break it down in the final mock here, I've got Keon Coleman at 54, wide receiver out of Florida State. The Browns do go ahead and pull the trigger on their big, versatile outside receiver. At 85, Karin Amagaji, offensive tackle out of Yale. He falls to them at 85, and they take him there. At 156, they scoop up Dekmarion Richardson, the cornerback out of Mississippi State. At 206, they get Trevor Keegan, offensive lineman out of Michigan. And then 227, Logan Lee, the defensive tackle out of Iowa. And finally at 243, Omar Spates, linebacker LSU, the guy that I was talking about earlier. So that's the final mock draft as we head into the weekend. Again, top guys at every position that I've already gone through in this episode. Be on the lookout for these names and comment, what do you guys want to see the Browns come away with this weekend? I know we've talked a lot in the last couple of weeks about this type of stuff, but this is what's going on right now. It is NFL draft season, and the Browns are looking to really bolster their depth and the young players that they can develop over the next year or two, like Alex Wright is the best example I can come up with right here, right now, because last year the Browns were, you know, Andrew Berry's been building this roster to this point where they can draft for depth and development and not have to worry about anybody coming in to be a starter or a key contributor. And last year's draft was the first time that we really saw that play out. But the year before that, we were still drafting guys that's like, well, I hope some of these guys can come in and play. But Alex Wright was a name from that draft 2 years ago with Martin Emerson and those guys that it was kind of like the Isaiah McGuire from last year, Siaki Ika from last year. You didn't see him. You didn't see him on the field. There weren't many snaps, no reps. They didn't play. Hey, where are these rookies that we drafted? Well, we don't need them. We don't need them. They're developing. They're getting acclimated to the game. They're at practice every day. It's not like they're staying on the sideline for the games, you know, holding somebody's jock strap and not doing anything. These guys are at practice every day. They are growing into their NFL bodies, into their NFL skills. And we saw that last year with Alex Wright. Again, overshadowed, obviously, by Myles Garrett, Defensive Player of the Year, and what Za'Darius Smith was able to do with the Browns. But Alex Wright, sneaky, quiet, good second year in the league. And that's what I expect out of all these guys the Browns take this weekend. Probably not a whole lot of action for many of them in 2024, but names that you'll probably see pop off the screen in 2025 and 2026. So that's it, guys. That wraps it up. NFL draft prep is done. It's in the books. We are heading to the studio Friday night to do the live stream. Kenny Mack's coming down from Canada. He's going to be in Detroit tomorrow night for the first round, taking it all in. And then he's going to come down to the studio on Friday night to give us everything that he experienced at the first round and to give us just a good show. Kenny Mack's such a good dude. Derek Frisbee, DF Sports, is coming up from Columbus to the studio, and Devontae Travis is coming down to the studio as well. We're going to have a full house, a full team of guys bringing you draft coverage Friday night at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, so don't miss it. Tap the notification bell on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, and like this video and all of our videos. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Love you guys, best audience in the world, and I cannot wait till everybody's together Friday night to see what the Browns start doing this weekend for the NFL draft. So until we come to you guys, start of round two, let's go Browns.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over, so you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.